Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
And we are back again. Welcome to Real Talk with AH3 on the Black Independent Network on the Bashani Radio App. I am Alejandro III, AH3 the most, El Papi Chocolate to some. You can always connect with me and see more of my thoughts and musings at facebook.com/purposed1AlvinIII. Again, facebook.com/purposed1AlvinIII. And ladies and gentlemen, the mailbag is open. You can send me questions and topic requests to realtalkwithah3@gmail.com. I may choose a few to cover over time. Please check out the archives for more of my great podcast episodes again on the Bashani Radio app. And here's what I have for you today. Today we're going to have another installment into the Currency Talk series. This one is going to be called Doggy Money Part 2. The second wave, doggy money, part two, the second wave. And I feel that I have a certain responsibility as someone who is a cryptocurrency, ladies and gentlemen, enthusiast. And of course, there's a buzz all over, or at least at the time of the recording of this, all over about social media about Dogecoin. Not gonna go into too much history or the technicals of Dogecoin. I'm talking about it in the frame of we're witnessing a social media mania over this cryptocurrency and the potentials of what it could do to your personal finances in a short manner of time. And I'm here just to give my thoughts and also some admonitions or warnings. There's a lot of good, and then there's also a lot of bad. Because maybe a couple of months ago, we just went through a social media buzz around Dogecoin before, and billionaire buddies keep on discussing it, creating buzz, creating intrigue around this coin and the activities of these billionaires, like showing up on certain TV shows and things like that, is driving the interest as well as also the access to at least price exposure. Is driving interest into this coin and the potentials of it, if not changing your life indefinitely, just changing it temporarily, relieving you of issues, the allure of easy, fast money, the casino mentality is taking into effect right now. It's a good thing in the sense that it's getting people conditioned into the world of cryptocurrencies, which at some level is a parallel system to our legacy financial systems. These assets are designed to make logistics and currency movement much more efficient than what we have with our current system, which has a lot of stop gaps of institutions and individuals. And once you get into the ecosphere, truly, not just through an exchange, but in the actual ecosphere where you're moving items from one wallet to another wallet app, things like that, you get to see how these things work. Your trust builds around them. But with all of that introduction and exposure, which I think is actually the agenda between pushing Dogecoin for two reasons. Because it has a low value per coin or unit, preferably, you know, it's under a dollar right now at the recording of this. And it's also more easily accessible across different exchanges. Most people are familiar with the Robinhood app, which makes stock and crypto exposure easy. So with those two factors, people telling, you know, their friends, family, associates, it's the just the mere discussion of this coin is a communication and bonding topic that people can have basically a very social experience with. But again, the whole Uber, you know, Uber driver phenomenon is happening, where people that are otherwise not involved into maybe a market that you've been involved in for a while, and now telling you and sometimes operating as an advisor, because it seems like they know much more than you do. It's just a part of what's called a mania. So how do you really determine a mania besides the buzz around it, the communication buzz and the reach across several generations in communicating about this asset? That's kind of the telltale sign, basically, when you're in a mania. Manias are not bad. Manias are only bad for people who do not know how to manage them well and manage their risk well, which unfortunately brings the negative side of this. So this is a situation in which people have the highest potential to receive windfalls. Problem is, they don't know how or when to realize those windfalls so that they can actually keep their windfalls. Many people will have an experience in which they're going to gain a lot really fast, but they're also going to lose the majority as well. Because, not because of the mechanics of the market, it's going to be how their emotions and their reasoning that is colored by their emotions are going to affect them. Most people are either A, they're going to get in, quote unquote, too heavy into an asset like this Dogecoin. They're going to risk some bill money. They're going to risk some type of long-term savings. They're going to risk some type of, car note, rent, something like that, for the hopes that they can receive a quick doubling or tripling, or quadrupling of their holdings, which for most people who risk that, that is a risk area that is way too high for their tolerance in the event these trades or these investments do not go in the direction that they want. Or something great may happen. They may actually get to that point to where they have doubled, tripled, quadrupled their holdings, and now their emotions will not permit them to sell any, because they will continue to believe that it's going to go higher, and they fear of losing those gains while their portfolio looks fantastic, which is another trap. Each person has to decide what a proper exit strategy, a proper entry amount and a proper exit strategy is, which is something that's only developed by learning to think as a speculator, a trader. And again, the speculation aspect is not what's wrong. It's the management. It's the maturity around handling speculation. Some people do think that speculation is an inferior means of obtaining wealth. This market, the life that we live, the goods that we buy and service would not find a real market value if it wasn't for a speculative market, if it wasn't for people, a buyer on one side saying that they would buy it for this amount or trade it for this amount of currency or goods or whatever, versus another individual that said they will sell it for this amount of resources or finance. That the experience of getting to an agreeable point of value is what is why speculative markets exist. So I don't think that people who either obtain value for their goods or service or work or things like that understand that a speculative market is necessary. Now, with that being said, can a speculative market be completely out of logic and imbalanced? Oftentimes it is. And it's the inefficiency in that market that creates opportunity for people who have great entry and exit strategies. And it is a competition amongst the group of individuals because it is what's called a zero-sum game. Meaning, some people, in order for some to win big, others must lose big. But again, the difference is not in the mechanics of the market. The difference is in the mentality of the people in the market, which I guess brings to my last point. The money and the wealth is going to be captured for the patient and strategic over the impatient and unstrategic. And that is the difference in the market. The experienced money and time experienced trader or speculator is going to have an advantage and usually receive the best results over the time unexperienced and non-efficient speculator, because there over time there's a certain mentalities that develop with the market, and that mentality has to be in conjunction with the person's core personality. Right now we are seeing what some psychologists have done with children in many basic studies called the marshmallow test. What's the marshmallow test? The marshmallow test is when you put a rewarding or a positive experience, usually with the eating of marshmallows, in front of a kid, and you leave that child in that room to make their own decision as to whether A, they want to go ahead and eat the marshmallow that's presented to them with an indefinite time of wait, or B, they want to eat two marshmallows representing the guarantee of more for just waiting. And of course, most children want to go ahead and eat what's in front of them. Which is a symbology of most people want to take the quickest route to gratification as possible instead of waiting for an immediate return. And sometimes it's a way of humans trying to force returns in whatever endeavor that they're doing. And so that's it. We are in the middle of a actual cultural mania over this digital asset and the ecosystem it represents, cryptocurrencies, and the strategic and the patient are going to have better odds of capturing and receiving a windfall as opposed to those who are impatient. The odds are just going to be askew. And each individual that participates in this market has to decide how they're going to operate. Are they going to be more patient and strategic? Are they going to understand their strategy? Or are they really just going to give everything to chance and excitement and just see what happens? And that's basically it, ladies and gentlemen. This has been AH3 and Real Talk with AH3. And until next time, peace.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Stat, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcasts. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.